Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, May the 16th, 135th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Hey, guy.
Hi, how are you?
Vertical. Yourself?
Excellent. Same.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, we both know that it's not nighttime, right? Ish. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about a new proposal or a new project that's working its way through between the city and with the school district. I won't spill any beans on that one. We'll let Fred talk about that one.
That's a cliffhanger for the
Yes, the tension
break.
Building. You
yes,
betcha,
yes.
Yeah. And we'll also spend a little bit of time talking about some student activities. There's been a couple of kids in the last little bit at Eureka High that have gone missing. We'll talk a little bit about that. And also pedestrian and bicycle safety. We heard a little bit about the unfortunate situation at Booner and S, but there have been a couple of other situations involving youngsters, well, ish youngsters, that we need to talk a little bit about also. So students, parents, community, all that kind of stuff wrapped up in a ball, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Elbert Hubbard. I don't know if he's part of the same family or not, but he died in 1915. So
that's
maybe
why
not.
I don't know him yet.
Mm-hmm. Quote, do your work with your whole heart and you will succeed. There's so little competition.
That's interesting. You know, there'd
comments,
be people,
sir.
The only comment I would have is, you know, it's interesting how times change and people look back on the good old days, if you will, and talk about how it used to be and how everyone used to be so much different than they are now. The question is, have times really changed?
I would contend that it has. I mean, you rip out, gut out technology. You know, let's say, for my comfort, back to the 1920s. So we got a little bit of car activity going mm-hmm. on, a couple of roads, but we're not going too fast. Still got a lot of horses, got our radio. It's different. It's agrarian. It's a lot.
90% of our population was directly involved in production agriculture.
Trees, I would presume, would count as an agricultural
Absolutely.
Product.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Blue collar, mm-hmm. a lot more of the ground, of mm-hmm. the earth.
Mm-hmm. Not very much organized labor at the time.
A lot more hard work, mm-hmm. Stoop labor, if you will.
Right, and that's why I said without
calluses.
The organized labor, there wasn't the all the restrictions on how employees were treated.
Right, yeah, there were some certainly issues on that side of the ledger as well. Much more family centric.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have people getting in trouble with credit. Well, unless you were in the company store, you know, mm-hmm. that. So I guess Scotia would probably be a little bit of an exception to that. Mm-hmm. Education, while not as foo-foo, PhD, you learn more in high school than you get now through college. So the body knowledge.
I don't know if I'd go with that one.
You wouldn't go with math, with English, with sentence structures, with history, with classic literature?
I think that the level of knowledge that's graduated from high school today is higher than the level of knowledge that was graduated in 1920. There's a huge
breadth or depth.
Both. There's a
really?
Huge, and there's a huge difference between the students that graduated from high school today as compared to 1920. 1920, we didn't have the special education programs like we have now. We did not educate every child like we do now. And so many of those students who weren't quote-unquote your school type of child would have never been in high school. So,
but they had options to have still be able to raise a family, own a home, things of that nature. Because of the labor the lack of automation, and there were jobs in the mills, there were jobs in the woods, there were jobs in the farms. Okay, maybe you don't know world history, but you know how to do what you do know what to do well. And there was indoor plumbing. That was another biggie.
In most places, not all.
Yeah, true. But when you see some of the tests that were given, sixth grade tests, admission to junior high test, admission into high school test. I bet you if we put that out on the table right now, most of the kids wouldn't be able to pass it.
I bet you could flip that around too and talk about the California Standards Test and give that to those children back in the 20s and they wouldn't be able to pass it either.
You don't think so?
No, I think that there's just a little bit different emphasis on what we're teaching inside the classroom. And I think the emphasis is going to change again here real soon with the implementation of the new national Common Core Standards, which will actually put California on a much better level to be compared across the nation with other states, and not only across the nation but with other countries as well.
So the SAT and the ACT don't cut it for that purpose?
No, they don't. They really don't. Again, because here's the problem with the SAT and the ACT is it's not every student that's taking it. And so you can't really make an apples-for-apples comparison when every student is not taking the ACT or the SAT.
Well, and they weren't designed for that purpose.
Oh, absolutely not. I agree. However, when you grade or judge an educational system, you have to judge the whole system, not just parts. You can look at parts and evaluate it and critique it, but you truly can't evaluate it unless you evaluate the whole system. That's one of the problems when you start comparing our national education system with some of those of other countries, because, again, if you go back to the 1920s and compare education then to education now, it's a different clientele, different group of people that we're educating now, and we're educating all.
Different, better, or worse?
I'm not going there.
If a kid doesn't want to be in school, I don't think you should have to shackle him to his desk. They're going to be a disruptive factor, I don't think you put them into the school where the disruptive factors are. Now, maybe you need to have teachers who can teach to engage the student. Okay, that's a different argument. But as far as, you know, a kid getting the life skill set to be able to go forth and be successful and productive in society.
So let me create some controversy here. You have a third grader that is being disruptive and being disrespectful. Do you really think it's the right thing to tell that child, sorry, you can't be in school, and give that kid that's only 7 in third grade or 8 a life sentence based on his behavior in the third grade?
We'll have to find out after the break now, won't we? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka City Superintendent of Schools, Fred Van Fleck. Let me do a quick little math here. Okay. Set the question again now about what is fair in our educational system today versus 1920.
Well, what the difference is, again, one more time, the difference is educating every child as opposed to educating those children who have not dropped out of school. And, you know, there's a necessity for many of the children back in the 20s to drop out of school because, as I said before, approximately 90% of our population was involved directly in production agriculture. Production agriculture isn't a job that necessarily requires a whole lot of schooling. And so people that had the family farm, which was almost everybody, a greater emphasis was placed on, I need you at home and I need your strong back working for us, getting food on the table. It's different because there wasn't a lot of cash in those days, and there wasn't the fancy cars, the fancy shoes, the fancy computers. Everything that was out there to spend, as you alluded to a little bit earlier, no debt out there. There really wasn't anything to spend money on. The concern was, where's our next meal coming from? And that, what's out in the field?
So as you were talking about educating everybody, and I've had discussions in the past with others on the show. Some of these kids that have the physical conditions that now are required to have a nurse, a full-time attendee, mm-hmm. the special bus to pick them up,
Right.
Life expectancy of 5 or 6 years. I contend, wouldn't it be better for the kid's life experience as well as financially, and I know you can't really extract the one from the other, is to give them $40,000 or $50,000 a year, let them go to Disneyland. Let them go see the Grand Canyon. Let them go and experience as much as life has that they can have now while they still are able to enjoy it, rather than forcing them through something, having them trained for something that they really aren't ever going to, unless something really extraordinary occurs, that they won't be in a position to be able to take advantage of later on.
I think that's an interesting argument, interesting perspective to have. And I can think of a student right now that we have going through a non-public school, non-public placement, who's costing the district over $100,000 a year. Very expensive. However, from my perspective, who am I as a superintendent of Eureka City Schools to play God, if you will, and determine who gets an education and who doesn't get an education? And part of that is, you know, maybe this kid has a life expectancy that's 5 years, but nobody really knows. Is that the true thing? The second piece of that is I would argue that experiencing, and I'm sure you have fond memories of being in school, experiencing being in school.
You are the son of a teacher.
Although, you know.
Fond memories, yes.
But experiencing that bonding of being in school and being around other kids that are their age, other students that are their age, and establishing those relationships is one of the most important things of a child's life. Whether you have a short life or a long life, those are things that are very important to them.
Oh, we have friends and buds and all that stuff.
Right.
But now if we play our scenario out, okay, if this youngster and his family had $250,000 or $500,000 and could go and see the sights that are only in the textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Experience the things that nobody else is able to experience and be able to have a more richness of life, aren't they ahead?
I guess that the argument that I'd bring up there is I
would... Because they can still read.
But I'm going to answer your question with a question. How much happiness has money bought all of the superstars that you can think of? And take a look at Hollywood and how many divorces have happened down there. Money, I don't think, will buy happiness.
It's not a cure-all, but if you offered the option,
again,
you're not playing God.
Nope.
Or anything else. But now you mentioned one youngster, but I bet you the school system has got more than one youngster who's in that kind of a situation.
I can't think of, we've had a few kids, usually the kids that are in the life-threatening situations like that are children that have leukemia or some sort of cancer, have some sort of terminal illness like that. Generally, those students really crave the socialness of being in school. Usually the SH kids are severely handicapped kids. Aren't the students that have a short-term life expectancy like that. Some of those students that are severely handicapped don't live as long as you or I may not, and that's not all kids, but some of them are that way, but they generally will live well into their 30s or 40s or even longer.
Fair enough. Different perspectives. Yeah, I don't know if there's a right one or a wrong one.
And that's what makes it difficult for me as a superintendent or a school board or anybody that's any kind of decision-making power. How do you determine whose perspective is right, which one's right and which one's wrong?
Is it your call?
From my perspective?
Or is it the parents' call?
On whether their child's in school or not?
Yeah.
Well, legally, or my opinion, legally, it's not the parents' call. It's not my call. We have mandatory education for all children that are 18 and under. It's called compulsory education. Compulsory. There you go. I can come up with it. Compulsory. I knew
actually,
I was close.
Compulsive was pretty close.
So, you know, that's one of those things that I don't have control over. I can't make that decision. However, if I put myself in the shoes of one of those parents whose child may have leukemia or something like that, and if I was in that situation, I wanted to spend that time with my child and go off and do some things during that time, I certainly would do that.
Bye-bye. Yeah, go and do and not worry about
it. But in the interim, between trips and between doing different things, I would have that child, my child, in school. Because, again, that social piece is so important to the development of a child.
I know this is going to sound really tacky, but I guess we'll have to wait till after the news. KINS, news and information time. We'll get to those other topics, too. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Fred.
May is Mattress Month, and where do more of your friends buy mattresses? Vern's Furniture. Take advantage of competitive pricing on the new Serta iComfort mattresses, the latest in sleep comfort with cool memory foam. Or save up to 50% on closeout mattress models from Englander. Save on Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, and choose 18 months no interest financing on the mattress set of your choice at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka. Now's the time to buy during Mattress Month at Vern's.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Eureka City School Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Fred, before the break, we've been talking a little bit about kids who have physical or medical challenges. I think sometime back when we both were younger, it was called mainstreaming. Mm-hmm. And that's what we had to do, and that was going to be beneficial for all concerned, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mainstreaming still very popular and a very hot topic out there amongst the special education world.
Isn't there a disruptive nature, though, to that, to the kids who are in that classroom setting when there are those that are disruptive? I mean, I don't know how to get around it, because they're both kids, both sets of kids, are captive mm-hmm. in that scenario. One can't get away from the other, and the other can't get away from the other. So, okay, that seems to be what is. But when we talk about education and we talk about some of the challenges that are out there, either for the kids that need a little bit of assistance to master the subject matter, or those who are bored to tears because they get it, and they got it 3 weeks ago, and now they're figuring out new ways to make paper airplanes, et cetera, et cetera. Having a third variable in that equation, I would think it's really tough to teach in that scenario, and it's tough to learn in that scenario. How do you work that one through so that everybody's ahead because everybody's there?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about special education law. Special education law is federal, and we have what's called IEPs, or Individualized Educational Plans. And that's a team of people that sit down and meet and talk about each individual student. Because to stereotype for all students, it'd just basically be impossible. Because every one of the special education students we have in Eureka City Schools has a very unique disability that we have to treat very individualized for that particular student. And there also has to be a balance there. And that balance has to be, if you've got a student who has some sort of disability that creates him or her to be a tremendous disruption to the classroom setting, then that mainstreaming needs to be very limited. I'm not saying that the mainstreaming won't happen, but it needs to be very controlled, and it needs to be during very certain circumstances inside the quote-unquote normal classroom, and make sure that that the special education student is very well monitored, and that both the special education student and the traditional type student is getting the most that they can out of the educational day. As soon as that student becomes too much of a disruption, then that's when the IEP needs to happen again to determine, is that the appropriate placement for that student if he or she is disrupting all the rest of the students? Because if there's that much disruption going on, then it's probably not the appropriate placement for the student either, because they're not getting a lot out of it if they're disrupting the class.
That's what I was going to ask. So you've got either special needs, I think you said?
Special education, special needs, okay. Disabilities.
There's so they have a unique perspective on life too. Mm-hmm. So how do you... Not to make it sound like a zoo, because it certainly isn't, but how do the kids that don't have those special needs learn what it's like from them to have those challenges and still engage in life and engage in school and still have fun and vice versa? I mean, how do they have that shared experience back and forth? Is it just hanging out together, or are there other opportunities that are in the system that allow the kids to better appreciate each other?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head. You almost answered your own question with your question from the frame point of mainstreaming the students. So the reality is, when these students leave our school system, they're going to be mainstreamed out in the world, depending on, obviously we've all seen people out there that aren't like the rest of us. And that's part of our learning process.
And they are pleased. Oh, sorry.
And so that's part of the learning process for our children, to learn how to be around people that aren't like us, for people that aren't like us to learn how to be around us. It's the whole learning process with that. And that's part of what we set up in the schools, is not fully mainstreaming some of those students that are more severe, but rather giving them a taste inside the mainstream classroom in a very controlled environment so they can learn to better adapt to society, and also society better adapt to them.
For the entire educational experience, do you lose any efficiencies and any effectiveness by having this combination?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it, because a student, here's a great example, and I can come up with this one right off the top of my head. I just talked about a student that costs the school district over $100,000 a year. That's money that's not reimbursed to us by the state. We have to pull that off of the revenue limit, or the money, if you will, that another student is bringing into the district, because special education costs encroach into the general fund and cost money that could be paid out to every other student inside the classroom for their education. So there's a
no
huge
allowances
direct
for
impact.
These for these youngsters.
No, there is an allowance.
Financial.
There is a financial allowance for special education, but in Eureka City Schools, we have about a 53% encroachment. Meaning, for every dollar that we get reimbursed for special education, we're spending $1.50 on special education.
So what about school districts that have, for whatever reason, an inordinately large percentage or larger percentage of their student population that's in that kind of a situation?
That's Humboldt County. Humboldt County special education population is up around 15% as an average in the
really?
County.
15% of the 15%, all kids?
Yep.
One out of six?
That is correct.
No, it's quick math there.
Yes, I was impressed with
really?
That. You went to Eureka City Schools. I can tell with that quick math. So anyways, the one out of six.
That's right. It wasn't Arcata, buddy.
So
it
one
took
out of
too
six.
Long to come back, so it doesn't really count. But okay, fine.
One out of six. Eureka City Schools is running about 14%. State average is somewhere down around 11-12%. So there's definitely a difference in the special education population up here. Why that is, I don't have a good answer for. But we are higher than the state.
And even statewide, it's better than one in 10.
Yes, it is.
So if you got an average classroom of 28 to 30 kids, you've got 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 special needs kids in that classroom setting?
No. And the reason I say no is because many of those special education kids are off in a special class for those students. But remember,
something tailored a little bit more for their needs.
That's when you get in, like Glenn Paul, who's a school specifically for the high needs, severely handicapped type students, all the way to the other end of the spectrum. For instance, a student that comes into elementary school that maybe has a little speech impediment, they can't quite get their R's or slur their S's, and I don't pretend to be a speech expert, but that's a special education student as well who has to have some speech therapy.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, sometimes city government doesn't want anything to do with education because separate funding pool, separate. And other times, schools and cities kind of come together and do a partnership, hand-holding or arm-holding kind of an approach. What's the relationship between the city school system and the city?
Well, I can't speak very much historically about the relationship between Eureka City Schools and the city of Eureka, but I can certainly speak about where we are trying to go with the relationship. I commend the city of Eureka for their openness and willingness to get together with Eureka City Schools and create a joint 2+2 committee is what we're calling it, where there'll be two school board members, two city council members, along with myself and the city manager, Bill Panos. And we'll get together on a monthly basis for a while and talk about things that are in common for us. For instance, facilities, disaster preparedness, resource officers, which we have at our schools, and develop a plan to really work on those issues that are in common so we can become, I want to make sure you hear this, more efficient in government.
How about more effective, too?
Absolutely, more effective, too.
Let's do the right things right.
So we want to make sure that we're working together because there's so many things that we can do that we have common interests on it. I think that we can really benefit each other, really benefit the children of Eureka and benefit the greater community of Eureka as well.
Well, when you mentioned some of the outreach, and like the campus cop, I know it's called something different, but I think most of us know this.
School resource officer,
yes. There you go, see. That kind of involvement and hand-holding and back and forth is probably the one thing most of us think about other than the when the cops come in, they role play, kid dies.
Right, disaster preparedness.
Is that every
shooter?
Every something minutes?
Oh, every 15 minutes.
Thank you very much.
Okay. That's based on drunk driving.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Versus many of the other choices that are out there.
Yes.
Is that the kind of partnering that you're talking about, or is this a little bit different or focusing on a bit larger scale?
This is a larger scale, focusing on the next step. For instance, conversations about the Jacob campus. Are there things that we can do with the Jacobs campus that may be mutually beneficial to the city of Eureka and also Eureka City Schools? Do we have facilities that we can share, such as gymnasiums, and really work into the recreation department of the city of Eureka and have some joint ventures where we go in together to provide some community recreational activities for both our youth and regular citizens?
Like the midnight basketball?
Yeah,
I mean, scenario kind
of
thing.
Okay. Sure. We can talk about lots of things like that. Talk about, for instance, the relationship that we already have with College of the Redwoods with a disaster thing that we recently had. I talked about it last time with the bomb threat that was there. We were able to share our facilities with College of the Redwoods and really open up those lines of communication with the city of Eureka.
I'm curious. Those weren't there before? Everybody had their own little fiefdom and that was it?
Well, I would compare it to kind of like calling your neighbor that lives at the end of your road, who you see out there once in a while and you wave when you drive by, but you don't really know them. When you sit down and establish these more of a formal relationship where you know them and you're on a first name basis, it'd be like your next door neighbor that you know real well and you're really willing to talk to and share the tool across the fence or something like that. So that would be my analogy between where we're at now and where we'd like to go.
What kind of timeline are you on with this thing? Do you think is it going to be a gradual step at a time? Are there some major significant milestones that you're looking to accomplish before, let's say, the start of next school year?
Well, I really can't answer that because we haven't had our first meeting. I'm looking very much forward to our first meeting, which I believe will probably be happening in June. We don't have anything finalized yet as to when and where, but we are certainly working on the process.
I knew you were going to bring up that word, process.
I guess, should I say working on the bureaucracy?
How about working towards results?
That's what we're. That's exactly what we want to do. And then this committee will actually report out to a joint city council school board meeting, which we'll have twice a year, once at the school district, once down at City Hall, where both, that's where the real decision making will happen, is when both board and city council are together.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.